Speaking for myself anyway, this week is moving along quickly. It's Thursday already. And if you've been with us for the last few days, you'll remember that we've been dealing with the existence of God. And the very first reality we learn about God is that God exists, and he exists before the beginning. God exists since he exists before the beginning. And I gave you three reasons why God existing before the beginning is so important. These are that first, God has no beginning. Second, God's pre-existence demonstrates that you and I are not God. And third, the pre-existence of God is important because his pre-existence proves his existence. Yesterday, we dove into this first reason, God has no beginning. Our focus has been on the opening words of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God. And yesterday, we read just one more word from the Bible. In the beginning, God created. We notice that God existed before God created. So we can say God pre-existed. Before the creation, God. He exists before anyone else. He exists before anything else. Before the creation, God is. And that's crucial to understand about God. No one and no thing created him. God is uncreated. The truth is, he has always existed and he will always exist. There's no beginning and there's no end to God. Not only does God exist in the present, but he has always existed, past, and he will always exist, future. So whether you talk about the past, the present, or the future, you cannot talk about any of those time periods without including the existence of Almighty God. God is not born. We cannot give birth to God. God does not die. We cannot kill God. We cannot start God. We cannot stop God. We have no power over him. We have no control over him. We did not make him. Rather, he made us. And neither is some sort of other divine power able to do these things to God. Why? Because contrary to the incessant insistence of popular ideas that circle our culture today, there is no other God. There are no other gods. There is only one God, and he exists. He had no beginning. He has no end. He has no rival. He's not competing with another deity or deities. They don't exist. Still, in the Bible's Old Testament, I love how Isaiah records God's very words in Isaiah 41, verse 4. I, the Lord, am the first and with the last. I am he. Before Genesis 1, verse 1, the first verse of the Bible, he existed. And after Revelation chapter 22 and verse 21, the last verse of the Bible, God will exist. The first, the last. This is what God, wholly uncreated, says of himself. And I believe him. And the Bible claims that if you want to know God, that is, you want to live in relationship to the living God, then the first thing you must do is believe that he does exist. On Monday, I quoted from Hebrews chapter 1, and now let me quote from Hebrews chapter 11. So I'm now shifting into the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6. Whoever comes to God must believe that God is. So if you're within the sound of my voice and you contend that God does not exist, then that naturally puts you outside of relationship to God. You have no relationship with God. And most of you are quite all right with that. At least, so the atheist tries to convince both him or herself and someone such as myself. But again, I contend the opposite. I come to God because I believe that God is. By the way, the Bible doesn't use the word atheist. Rather, the Bible uses a more accurate term, fool. Back to the psalmist in Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The one who says there is no God is also stubbornly persistent, says Psalm chapter 10, verse 4. All his thoughts are, there is no God. I'm eager to hear from those of you listening to me who insist there is no God, because in my experience of talking with people like you, I found that you're a dogged, tenacious, and persistent bunch. I remember when Richard Dawkins published his book, The God Delusion, in 2006, I went on the radio in Hong Kong to debate a disciple of Dawkins on the very existence of God. This fellow was living down in Sydney, Australia, so he joined us by phone. The host and myself were in the Hong Kong studio, and to be clear, the hosts were definitely not Christians. In fact, the guys hosting the morning talk program were about as un-Christian as you could get. But the man defending Dawkins was speaking with such fury and so dominating the talk time, I mean, really just talking over the conversation, such that I couldn't get a word in. Do you know what the host eventually had to do? Mute him. He made a point and took one short breath, and the engineer cut his mic, really his phone, just to allow me a chance to respond. When it was all over, one of the men in the studio, referring to the Australian defender of Dawkins, said to me, "What a fool." And I thought, he's right. Psalm 14, verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." So if you go around all day saying there is no God, why don't you write to me? I'm certainly willing to hear you out. But likewise, I'll expect you to do the same when it's my turn here every weekday, or when it's the turn of Christians that you know in your life, around the dinner table, at a coffee shop, in your office, and especially in your classroom and library. All right. That being said, to unbelievers, remember what we're dealing with. Based on the Bible, I have said the very first reality we learn about God is that God exists, and he exists before the beginning. Then we're looking at reasons the preexistence of God is important. I have three. My first reason is that God has no beginning. God has no beginning. I have the words of a song that we sometimes sing in our churches playing in my mind. I believe Chris Tomlin wrote it, and on this one anyway, he stayed faithful to the biblical text. It also has a sweet rhythm. It's called Uncreated One, and here are the lyrics. Don't worry, I will not sing. Holy Uncreated One, your beauty fills the skies, but the glory of your majesty is the mercy in your eyes. Worthy Uncreated One, from heaven to earth come down. You laid aside your royalty to wear the sinner's crown. O great God, be glorified. Our lives laid down, yours magnified. O great God, be lifted high. There is none like you. Jesus, Savior, God's own Son, risen, reigning Lord, sustainer of the universe by the power of your word. And when we see your matchless face, in speechless awe we'll stand, and there we'll bow with grateful hearts unto the great I am. It's well said. God is the uncreated one. God has no beginning. Now, the second reason the preexistence of God is important is that it demonstrates that you and I are not God. This is actually rather logical. Think about it. God is uncreated, but we are created. He is the creator, and we are only the created. These differences alone make us subservient to God. Is not the one who made the world and the one who makes all of the people in the world greater than we are? We are not in the same space as God, as if we were equal to God. We cannot even elevate ourselves to God. No. Instead, if we are to know God, then God must come down to us. He must come down to our level and layer. He must introduce himself to us who live in this world from his home, which is out of this world. As we will soon see, this is where Jesus comes to make a way for us to God. What I am saying is that no human being is God. And this is very practical because many people that you and I both know act like they are God. We are surrounded by the proud, the arrogant, the narcissistic, and the egotistical. Yet all of these men and women have a beginning, but God has no beginning. All of these people are created, But God is uncreated. Everyone who is conceited must ultimately face reality. You are not God. God is God, and you are not Him. Now, I'm going to say much more about this as we move along in the weeks to come. So my second reason why the pre-existence of God is important is short and to the point. We are not God. And it is God's pre-existence that demonstrates to us this fact. And so tomorrow we will proceed to the third reason and finish our week together with that. You know, you might have someone in your life who is so completely full of themselves that they think of themselves as God. Oh, they may not say, "I am God," but they sure do act like it. It's tough to deal with someone like this, but let's let today's message be of some comfort to us. This individual lives under the Creator. And one day, before God, this person will have no choice but to acknowledge that he or she has attempted the most wretched of all coups, the attempt to dethrone the one true God. We wouldn't want to be in their place when that day comes. And I know it seems to them, and can sometimes seem to us as believers in the one true God, that that day will never come. Because today seems just like yesterday, and we get lulled into believing that tomorrow will be just like today. My friends, have faith in God. And stay humble, because we are not God. I'll be back here tomorrow, and I hope that you will be as well, as we conclude week one together, right here on God Is.